Can't believe Dan Hennebery is not elite. Should be one of the toughest men in the game, and he's in an extraordinary midfield. Morning to you, Dan. How'd you spend the off season?
G'day, guys. Yeah, I went over to the States with my my partner Katie for about a month, and yeah, really enjoyed myself. Got to experience a bit of few sporting events, and yeah, kicked back and took it easy.
I hesitate to ask this question because the last time I asked it, I got it completely wrong with John Longmire. How was Buddy's wedding, Dan?
No, he's a pretty cagey sort of bloke, Buddy. He kept it pretty close to, you know, immediate family and friends. And you know, sent a text out to the boys and had a bit of a get-together back in Sydney after that, mate. But it was apparently it was an amazing day.
You've crushed it again, Tim.
You've crushed me.
You've done it again.
I had you down. You've embarrassed I thought man, you Tim. Might have been in the wedding party,
groomsman.
No. Not to be. I planned that trip with Katie to the States early that year, so wouldn't have been able to make it anyway, guys.
But you and Katie sounding pretty tight at the moment.
Yeah, reasonably tight. It's been a little while.
Just to let you get out of the heat, who's got the best midfield in the league, Dan?
Who's the best midfield in the league? The hard one. There's a fair few of them, I think. If I was biased, I'd probably say Josh Kennedy, because I play with him each week and see what he can do. But when he's at full flight, I think it's hard to go past Nat Fyfe.
So best really midfield group, though, I think we're looking at. We've been having a look this morning at Champion Data's rankings of the midfield. The Sydney Swans have been ranked fifth. I'm not sure if you're across exactly who's on top, but I think what Haim's saying, Daniel Boy, is who do you think's got the best midfield group?
Yeah, okay, so I misheard that. I think the best, well, the toughest midfield group, I think there's a lot of them out there these days, but, I mean, you look at Selwood at a Dangerfield, they're an incredibly tough matchup. They're both inside balls, so they can both get you on the outside. So I'd probably have to say, Geelong's, although there is a lot out there. You look at sort of Hawthorns now, even though they're a bit younger, with Jaeger and Tommy Mitchell and those sort of guys and the like, I'm sure they'll be there for years to come, but at the moment it looks like, probably Geelong.
And those boys that share the same state as you have got a pretty deep group.
Yeah, they do. I mean, the Giants, they bat really deep. I mean, I probably forgot to mention them, but yeah, they're right up there. They're emerging, I think, as the years go on this year and probably beyond. They're going to be right up there. They're probably got about six or seven that could almost start there each week, and it wouldn't make any difference to the impact they have on the game.
I read you came back as you always do. You're an elite runner. We marvel at your capacity to push and work through a game, and I think it's one of the great sights if you used to go and watch a player run as hard as you do. But you had that knee injury out of the grand final, so you had to have a bit of work there. And I think I read where you swore off the grog, so you've been living the lifestyle, the nice, clean lifestyle.
Yeah, you know, I think going to the finals last year, like most players, you sort of want to make sure you don't leave any of the chance. And yeah, gave myself every opportunity to have a good final series. And then I think when I did my knee, it sort of was a time where I thought, to get it right, in the past I would have gone overseas and you know, really let the hair down and enjoyed myself. But this time I thought, just with the knee and where I was at, it was important just to lay off the grog. And I was feeling pretty good in it mentally and physically after that sort of 6 or 7 weeks, that I thought, you know, I'd continue on with it.
Hey, Dan, I don't want to take you back there, but on reflection, that grand final, that last grand final, what's your view about the game? And I know every player plays the game over in their mind over and over again, and particularly when you lose a grand final, you've got so much time to think about it. What are you left thinking about after that grand final?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, it was pretty devastating being within a kick or I think the scores were even with 5 minutes to go. And I think we gave ourselves every chance to be right in it, but at the end of the day, being out there, it felt that Bulldogs were that little bit more attacking, especially in that last probably quarter and a half. They were really taking the game on, and it felt that we were sort of a bit hesitant to really take the game on and move the ball as freely as we have in the past. And I think it's really disappointing when you put in a lot of work and time and effort throughout the year, and you set yourselves up in a great position that we were in. Looking back, we probably in that respect weren't brave enough when we needed to be, because it was low scoring, or a goal or two behind at different stages throughout that last half. So That was something we looked at, and if we ever get that, hopefully we'll get that position again this year, and if we are, we know what we need to do.
Speaking with Dan Hannery from the Sydney Swans, the Giants and the Swans tomorrow night at Blacktown, live on air, SEN Footy. You're better or weaker list, Dan, now than at the end of last year?
I mean, most guys would say they're always in a stronger position, but I seriously believe we're in a stronger position than we were last year. We obviously lost Teddy Richards and Benny McGuinn, both retiring, and they were great stalwarts for the club and incredible players. But we feel it's a list we've got where a lot of the younger guys are a little bit more experienced and have got a bit more game time into them. And we feel the way that some of those guys are progressing the pre-season, that all things being equal and you have your senior guys healthy and playing good footy, that we should be in a better place this year.
Daniel, good morning. Something you don't talk about a lot is how close you were to coming back to Melbourne. We know you've got close family here and there were big offers thrown your way not so long ago by Melbourne clubs. Can you give us an insight into the conversations that took place that made you stay in Sydney and sign a long-term deal?
I don't know you're going to ask me that, Sam.
he's predictable.
No, I think, like every club, especially like every player with free agency these days, you're always going to explore the other options. That's just, I suppose, the duty of the manager, and it's stupid of a player not to have a look at those offers and speak to clubs or whatever about that. But at the end of the day, I sat down with the manager and he said, look, I love the lifestyle in Sydney. I love the footy club and the players, and we're in a really good spot at that stage with our list and where we're going. And I've always had trust in the group that we've got, but even more so now, going forward, I thought it's a great position to be in, and it's even a better place to live. So, as much as it was nice to look at those offers and speak to the manager about it, at the end of the day, deep down, there was no other place I wanted to play footy or live, and that was here in Sydney.
So Dan, just on that, we've got two of the biggest players in the comp, Dustin Martin and Nat Fyfe, who are both coming into free agency and haven't signed with their clubs. A lot of people question why they wouldn't, but just to your point there, it's just not how footy's going these days, that of course they're going to get to the end of their contracts and at least have a look at other offers. It's not a question about loyalty.
Yeah, I mean, there's an aspect of loyalty to it. I think, personally, I felt the sense that the club had done a lot for me and I'd always deserve to give them a fair bit more back, and the relationships I built were quite strong, and that was a major factor of me staying. But every player is different, but I think in this day and age, with a small window you've got in your career, I mean, most guys sort of at 30, 31 are on a downhill slide. So in that respect, you need to be, you need to really have a look at where you want to head to in that sort of back half of your career, whether you want to stay at that club, whether you need a fresh start, whether financially that's a thing for you. So a lot of players would come up with a few different reasons as to why they wouldn't stay. And certainly financially would be one of those, especially when you've got a small earning capacity. But I know for myself that a lot of the financial gain, you think, oh, that'd be great. But deep down, what was more important to me was relationships at the footy club that I'd built, and also staying at that one club that had given me that initial opportunity.
So when Richmond North and Melbourne present to you, do they do it differently? Do they put players up, or is it just the coaches? How do they do it?
Look, I didn't actually even speak to any clubs at all. I just would speak to my manager about it, and he just would say basically what was on the table. And I thought, initially, that's nice, and you're sort of humbled by that. But and he'd say, look, what do you think? And you just basically say, I just basically would say that that's great, and I'm appreciative of you helping me out here and looking for that. But I don't want to leave, and I want to stay in Sydney. So let's get a deal done. Pretty much, I think if it progressed, and I'd say, look, I'm interested in any of those offers, or geez, I wouldn't mind maybe going there. Well, then therefore, I assume what would happen then would the manager or the clubs would maybe set up a meeting, maybe with a coach or another player from there. But it never got that far down the track for me.
Speaking with Dan Hannery, who every list manager wants on his list, Mike's top 50 comes back in the middle of March, Dan. There's no cliches, no humbleness here. Where would you have yourself ranked? Gary Lyon heading inside the top five.
No, I don't know. I think Mike Sheen's an incredible observer of the game. So if he even snapped me in there at all, I'd be very humbled by that.
Beautifully answered. Hey, we've got to go very quickly, so I just want a quick answer. Have you spoken to Xavier Richards about life right now?
Not really, not in depth. He actually asked me a little bit about what uni study, how I've gone about that at Sydney Uni recently, to give him a bit of an insight, because I think he's playing for the Sydney Uni footy side up here next year, this year. But besides that, and giving him a bit of advice on that front, I haven't really gone into depth about much of him so far.
Last one before we let you go, and it is a cliche-free zone. We asked Jack Gunson to describe himself. He offered workhorse. Tim Watson offered breathtaking about himself. And Gary Lyon referred to himself as inspirational. How would you describe your game in a word, and then we'll let you go?
consistent.
Very humble. Well, Dan, can't wait to see you play again this year, and good luck throughout the year.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
He's
well
a ripper.
Brought up. Well brought up, young man.
He is. I tell you what... I'm going to discuss your interviewing technique when we come back, because
tried to trap him,
there
didn't
was
he?
Something in there that I thought is something you've been working on for some time.
8 blockbuster Sydney games in Victoria this year. It's a lot. It's the perfect time to join the Swans as a member. Visit membership.sydneyswans.com.au for details. Mike's top 50, March 15, he releases 50 to 40, and Sammy McClure with a little Dustin Martin whisper in just a moment.